Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football by the makers of Low Limit Football on September 1st, 2017. I'm your host, Joe Uccello, and as always, joined by my co-host, Roberto Rojas. But tonight, we have special guest Joseph Sexton from Marca to break down the La Liga season for 2017-2018 and kind of take a look into the top clubs in the league and maybe even give you a predicted winner. So, gentlemen, thank you both for joining us tonight. Joseph, I want to start out with the questioning to you. We saw three teams promoted this year, Girona, Getafe, and Levante. Getafe and Levante only spent 1 year back down in the Segunda Division, but are now have returned to La Liga proper. Of the three teams, which team stands the best chance of remaining in La Liga for at least 1 year?
I think based on the evidence of what we've seen so far, you'd have to say Girona. They've been incredibly impressive in their two games, getting the win last time out, but... coming really close to beating Atletico Madrid on the opening day. They seem tactically sound. We all know they have the links with Pep Guardiola, Pep Guardiola's brother, and there's maybe a bit of money behind them, and I would be quite confident about them. As for the other two, I guess we'll have to see.
Agreed. And it's funny because Girona obviously is the quote-unquote newcomer to the league, where Getafe and Levante have just recently done time in La Liga. So it's interesting to see them get off to such a hot start. Right now, currently sitting seventh, of course, tied as high as fourth with 4 points on this early season. Let's jump into the defending champions in Real Madrid. And I want to take a look at a couple of players for Los Blancos. Primarily, I want to look at Gareth Bale to start. He's only averaged 25 games a season. He's often injured, and there was serious talk this transfer window of him possibly moving or being moved to another team. What's his future hold at Real Madrid? How much longer are they going to keep him around?
Yeah, there was the whole thing about him perhaps being the heir apparent to Cristiano Ronaldo, and that talk has kind of died off. He was doing really well last season until he got that injury, but he's not really looked the same. And, he's had ups and downs in his time at Real Madrid. What I find interesting at the moment is the tactical flexibility of Zinedine Zidane, the way he's lining up. And, you think if you're going to line up with a 4-3-1-2, then that doesn't leave a place for Gareth Bale. But actually what we've seen in the opening league games and in the Super Cup games against Barcelona, he's quite happy to use Gareth Bale as one of the two nominal strikers with Isco behind them. So let's see how that one goes this season. I think he's played in a more advanced and central role for the Welsh national team. So, I think it's a position that he can perform in. So you think with the shift having Isco on the team, it makes it more difficult to include a wide man like Bale, but if he can do a job up top, well, that could be an interesting development.
Certainly. Now, Rob, I want to pose the same question to you. Also, keep in mind, they've moved Alvaro Morata on, so they, they're one less striker up top. But with Bale, when he's healthy and he's in, we've seen him turn in some magnificent Galacticos-type performances. So what are your thoughts on Gareth Bale and his future at Real Madrid?
It's a really bad situation to be in, or maybe a happy situation, depending on what kind of mood you're into. Obviously, I think the expectation that Bale was given when he came from Spurs just 4 years ago was lackluster, maybe a bit disappointing. Obviously, he did win major silverware there. He won the Champions League in his first season, and he ended up winning two more, but I think a lot of fans expected more from Gareth Bale. I think had he been a bit more consistent, or perhaps not as injured as often he is, we would be seeing, we'd be talking about a different Gareth Bale. But when you look at Zidane's team moving forward, this is a team with youth and depth, especially on the attack. So it's not exactly the be all end all when if Gareth Bale does decide to leave soon.
Sure, absolutely. I want to turn the focus over to another player, and for me, a very exciting player who's kind of broken out onto the scene for Real Madrid, and that's Marco Asensio. The 21-year-old scored two goals in his first two matches so far in Real Madrid this season, has really been a shining star, You know, Rob, I'm going to go to you first. With the suspensions to Cristiano Ronaldo that he's currently serving for pushing the referee, and obviously the aforementioned Gareth Bale being quote-unquote inconsistent, is this Asensio's time or chance, especially early in the season, to kind of break out and really show his value?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's already demonstrated that, not even in the La Liga, but he's demonstrated that, be it even this last season. I mean, he's had a couple of chances to play for Real Madrid during either the Champions League or in La Liga or anything else. I mean, I think he's scored like a goal in like every competition he's played in, like in his debut, and that in itself is very impressive. And obviously, with the suspension of Cristiano Ronaldo, this is the perfect time for him to carpe diem, to seize the day, to really show what he's demonstrated for, and to be, I guess, the future of this Real Madrid side. And to stay there for a couple of years and to really become one of the world's best in a few years.
Sure. Now, Joseph, can this kid keep up this pace, 2 goals in his first 2 matches? Can he make them forget about Gareth Bale?
He's been absolutely sensational. I mean, he showed flashes right from the off last season when he came back from loan. And he just seems to keep getting better and better. And you know, we've seen, again, him using the two up front as well, which wouldn't have been what I would have thought would be the most obvious position for him. But it's just the way this guy strikes a ball from distance. I'm struggling to think of a player going back in the last 20 years. I mean, it's the goals he scored for the Spain under-21s in the Euros. I mean, you see these long-distance efforts and you think there's a bit of luck involved. But when it keeps happening, it's not luck. This guy's got a very, very bright future ahead of him. People are really, around the world, not just those of us who watch Spanish football, but people are kind of really waking up to what a talent this guy is.
Yeah, I agree with the, with all the talk that we've seen about Ousmane Dembele this transfer window and Kylian Mbappe, and even here in the United States with the talk of Christian Pulisic, this kid is undoubtedly one of the highest rated unspoken talents that we've got right now in European football, and he's magnificent to watch. He's very flashy, he's exciting, and I can't expect anything but good things coming from him in the near future. Rob, I'm going to throw it over to you to break down Real Madrid's probably their biggest rival, right, in Barcelona?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest rivalries in the world. When referring to that, it's obviously going to be Barcelona that I'm going to be talking about next. This is obviously going to be a very different season now for Barcelona. After 3 years of Luis Enrique, they ended up getting a new manager of Ernesto Valverde from Bilbao. And it's been a really interesting summer, to say the least. They got rid of a few players. They got rid of Christian Thelot. They got rid of Jeremy Mathieu. They got rid of Jordi Maseb, Sergi Samper, and this little player named Neymar who went to PSG for $222 million. That's obviously not too special. But, that's the biggest transfer of all time and a big loss for Barcelona. However, in that process, I think it's been a weird transfer window. I mean, I haven't seen maybe, with the exception of a player like Ousmane Dembele, who came here for $105 million. I mean, players such as Paulinho, De La Feu, Nelson Semedo from Benfica. I mean, it's been an interesting transfer window and interesting summer, to say the least. I'll start with you, Joe. You know, is this one of the worst transfer windows that we've seen for Barcelona in some time?
I'm sorry, was that me, Rob, or was it Joseph?
Joe.
Okay,
Joe.
Me.
Yeah, so I suppose for the sake of balance, I'll maybe take the opposite angle, although I accept all your points. And especially everything that's been going on today with Di Maria. I mean, that is not a good look, the way that went today, the whole Di Maria thing. It was an attempt at a panic signing that didn't quite come off. So, you know, we'll park that for now. But where I think they've done well, I've liked what I've seen of Nelson Semedo so far. That's been a problem position since Dani Alves has moved on. And he looks like, you know, he can do a job there because, as well as Sergio Roberto did last season at right back, I mean, the guy is essentially a central midfielder. Like you, and especially for a team like Barca, where the width from the more wing backs than full backs is so important, they need a guy who can really play that position. So that's good. The Paulinho one, you know, I haven't been perhaps scratching my head as much as some of the Premier League fans, because as I'm sure you guys know, like, he's been doing really, really well for Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I'm not entirely sure how much of a fit he is. So can he give them something different? Can he give them that, you know, breaking towards the box and, you know, getting goals from range perhaps? But he's not the most obvious Barcelona type signing I've seen in recent times. And it is an issue that they've had going back since Guardiola was in charge, integrating players who didn't come up through La Masia. But I'm willing to keep an open mind on the Paulinho one. As for Dembélé, it does seem a spectacular amount of money to spend on a player who cost, was it 15 million euros last season. He's got really big shoes to fill in Neymar. I mean, we spoke about Real Madrid with the succession with Gareth Bale and Cristiano Ronaldo. Well, you know, Neymar was the succession plan for Leo Messi. And yeah, he's got massive shoes to fill. De La Fale, I don't see him being a key figure, but actually he's impressed me, you know, in the games to date. It's been a bit better than I thought he would be. So I think it's an interesting season. I think really the biggest issue in terms of recruitment, you know, obviously losing Neymar was, you know, a massive shock to the system. But, you know, this summer they really wanted to bet in the guy who's going to take the baton on from Iniesta, and they failed to do that. And that could be a problem because he is becoming increasingly injury prone.
Right, absolutely. And now, Joe, I'll pose the same question to you. And I guess the big question mark will always be Ousmane Dembélé. I mean, what are your thoughts on how he can be integrated into this Barcelona side with star figures like Luis Suarez and Lionel Messi?
Well, I think for me, when they added Dembélé, they were kind of looking as the direct replacement for Neymar. I agree with Joseph. They don't have a long-term solution to Iniesta to replacing him. And Joseph, you know, even want to throw it to you a little bit, they've really never replaced Xavi. And I think many people will point to the fact that when they didn't replace Xavi and his character and what he brought to the table for Barcelona, that's really when you saw them go from a great team to a really good team, and they've been trying to recapture that past history. You know, as far as this transfer window goes for Barca, you know, it's amazing. I thought they brought in some good pieces. We've had Gabby Amato on the show before, and we've talked about Nelson Semedo, and bringing him in, I think is a great move. The Paulinho one, you know, many people will say they kind of overpaid for Paulinho, but whatever. I do like the De La Fale move. It seemed to me like wherever De La Fale went, whether it was Everton or when he did his time at AC Milan last year, that he always brought something to the table. So I do like that particular move. But Dembélé has enormous shoes to fill if they're pointing to him as the next Neymar or the Neymar replacement. And the last thing I kind of want to close with you guys, I've got the Guardians listing for transfers up here right now. When have you ever expected Barcelona to actually make £36 million in a transfer window? They didn't spend. Their net was bringing in or capitalizing or earning £36 million. I know it's a little deceptive with the amount of money they earned for Neymar or they picked up for Neymar, but you never expect Barcelona to actually put money in their pockets in a transfer window. You always expect them to be spending and spending for the top talent. And I don't know that they did that. And especially this time, Joseph, like you said, the failure of the Di Maria transfer earlier today. And I think the way it abruptly ended, where I was watching Twitter a little bit on it, and they literally said, you know, the talks, they rejected Barca, PSG rejected Barca's offer, and they broke talks. I mean, it was like they shut the door. Thank you and good night. So it's just an interesting time, I think, at Barcelona. It'll be interesting to see also where they end up in the season going the next couple of months, especially with Champions League as well, and then seeing how aggressive they are in that January window to either bring in players that they missed on this particular window or reassessing the entire squad and picking up those valuable pieces.
Absolutely. Now we got a few situations also happening in Barcelona. I think with the crazy summer that's been happening, not only in transfers but also with the board with President Bartomeu, there's a few situations happening so far at Barcelona. The biggest one, and I think the most important one, is that two of their key players have their contract ending next year, and that's Andres Iniesta and Lionel Messi. Obviously, both are the captain and vice captain. Obviously, influential, emblematic legends of this club. I mean, where does it stand for both these men? I mean, do you feel that they're going to re-sign? Do you feel like, you know, it's the end for both of them at the club? You know, what do you think is next? Joe, I'll go to you first.
Okay, you know, first off, I just said that they earned or they made £36 million in this transfer window. They should take all of that, put it in an envelope, and give it to Lionel Messi and say thank you. Literally, I think they should just take that money. The need to sign Messi to a long-term contract is imperative. This is not some 35, 36-year-old who they're giving a chance in the last twilight years of his career. He's still the best player in the world. Period, end of story. Thanks for playing. You need to make sure you sign him. I know Iniesta, I want to say Iniesta's 32 years old. I'm just being lazy and not looking it up.
33.
Okay.
33, yeah.
I was pretty close. So as far as Iniesta, I think Iniesta is also, you know, he's one of those players. He's Totti. He is Blaugrana through and through. I think you could almost go year to year with Andres Iniesta, and he probably won't leave. But I think as far as Messi goes, Messi has no allegiances to the world. Messi can play wherever Messi wants because Messi is the greatest. So I think you need to make sure at all costs you need to lock him up and not make him a transfer window issue.
Right.
I'd echo those sentiments. You pretty much nailed it. You know, so exactly my feelings. Like, if from a Barca point of view, I would be pretty relaxed about Iniesta at this moment in time. With Messi, you know, I mean, he's very much at home in the city. Well, I mean, he lives outside the city by the beach, which is nice, but he's very much at home there. But you know, we're seeing some worrying signs the way he's spoken about the. You know, he's made references to the way the club is run. You know, something similar to what happened with Argentina. And we saw that he was willing to do the nuclear option with Argentina, even though he came back from the precipice. But, you know, I don't see a whole lot of places being particularly appealing for Messi to go to, aside from Barca. But one I would worry about is Manchester City with Pep Guardiola. I mean, especially with that contract running down, Guardiola being at City, you have to get this guy tied up. And, you know, I was even looking through the Barca site from, I think it could even have been as far back as July. They announced that Messi was signing his new contract, and it's not happened yet.
No. And you know, it's funny. I just want to jump in here real quick, Rob, because I want to pose this to both of you. Manchester City is really, we talk about the nuclear option. Manchester City is really the place. You know, he's familiar with Pep Guardiola. He's familiar with that type of system. So he would fit in, you know, amazingly well. My question to you is are we at a point, do we have a player in a situation on our hands? You know, and I'll ask you this, Rob, because I know you're covering Barca and you're a Barca fan. Do we have a player and a situation in our midst at this point where he can dictate who the president of a club is and maybe force Bartomeu out?
Absolutely. I mean, I mean, we can ask this. I can even ask another question to both of you guys. I mean, have you ever seen a polarizing athlete in this sport as Lionel Messi?
You know, I think for me, polarizing. I've seen other players. I think Ibra is a little more polarizing than Messi.
Like, have a big influence into the way, you know, not even a club is run, but also for his country in Argentina.
Yeah,
for me, this guy has clout to the max.
No, there's nobody in term for me. I think the only person in the soccer or football world more powerful than Lionel Messi, and I don't even know that he is. The only person more powerful than Lionel Messi right now in the soccer world is Mino Raiola. He's the if he is, he's the only one.
Right. You know, right. What about you, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, he's got massive clout. We've seen it with Argentina that he carries so much weight. Talking about, you know, presidents, that's shaky territory for me. But you know, it's clear that he's become something of a lightning rod for a degree of discontent that's around the squad. I don't know if you guys saw the social media thing during the week with Neymar putting out something, and you know, suddenly, like, a lot of Barca players were putting out, like, images of them with Neymar.
I
don't want to be too explicit, but, you know, there's something going on behind the scenes for sure.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, this is a situation. I guess I'll ask this this question to both of you to close it out, and just a simple yes or no question. Do you think Messi re-signs for the club this season?
I do personally. I think he is at home there, and you know, you have your ups and downs, and you know, there's, you know, the losing Neymar is it's a massive loss. They're all great friends, but. Yeah, I think if I had to put my you know, my 10 bucks on the spot or whatever, yeah, mm-hmm. I think he stays.
Right. And you, Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I think so as well. I think we may never see the Andres Iniesta level of it, but I do think Messi is Blaugrana through and through, just not to that level. I think when Messi's done, I think Messi either goes back and plays a year in Argentina or maybe even comes over to MLS or China. He pulls one of those types of moves. But I think he remains at Barca all the way through.
Right. Absolutely. I believe so as well. So, Joe, I think we can go to another rival of Barcelona our next club.
You know, for me, the teams that I had chosen to cover, I guess I'm living in Madrid because I'm going to go from one side of the city to the other, and we're going to take a quick look at the Atletico. You know, with Atleti last year, they finished, if I remember correctly in my pre-show research, they finished fourth. You know, with obviously Sevilla kind of sticking their nose in the Madrid-Barca kind of setup. But we've seen a little bit of a step off for me under Atleti and under Diego Simeone. And currently, we see them under a transfer ban, even though they were able, under this transfer ban, to bring in Vitolo from Sevilla for £31 million, or almost £32 million. What their transfer ban goes until January of 2018, so just a few more months. What's Simeone's goal, Joseph? What's Simeone's goal with this team getting to that January window where he can possibly bring in some reinforcements, especially with the tough group that they have in the Champions League of Roma and Chelsea?
Yeah, it's the same priority it's been in recent seasons. It's nail down that automatic Champions League spot. I think you know, everyone around the club would accept that, you know, with the registration ban, it's really, really complicated, any form of recruitment. I mean, we see today that Diego Costa has been named in Chelsea's squad. So let's see what happens there. But I think, you know, they're quite reasonable. They realize that they, you know, perhaps a title challenge is a bit of a step too far in terms of ambition. But, you know, now it's about nailing down third spot. And are they good enough? Yes. Are they going to be challenged by perhaps Sevilla? Absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting. I look at them. They're very top-heavy in terms of the squad at the moment, in terms of attackers. And they've oscillated in the last 18 months between trying to play a more expansive style and going back to basics. They're not really 100% sure what they want to be at, but they know they can always go back to plan A when they have to. But it's been promising, what we've seen this season, players who were fringe players who were, you know, loaned. The likes of Vieto, the likes of Angel Correa, they've done pretty well, you know, so far this season. So, yeah, they just need to decide how they want to play, how attacking they want to go, how defensive they want to go. And but yeah, I think, you know, third place is their goal. That's the long and short of it.
Now I know the great speculation is that Diego Simeone is he stayed on for this particular season to open the new stadium for Atleti. Is he truly one and done at this point? Is he going to run off to Inter or possibly the Argentinian national team, or do you see him extending past this particular year? Rob, I'm going to go to you with that one first. I'm sorry.
I mean, he's always said that he wants to coach a club like Inter or even go back to Argentina. I think we're looking at a situation where, depending on how Atletico will do this season, I mean, the goal for him was always going to be the Champions League. That's already been said. That's the one trophy that he lacks for the already legendary career that he's had at Atletico. I think if he doesn't win that, then I think he has no choice but to leave. I think he wants to try it out, especially at an ambitious project like Inter is doing with the new owners, that that he can do it there and try to get success and bring back the glory days of Inter.
Sure. Rob, I'm going to send it back over to you on a team that I found exciting last year and I'm curious to see what you guys have to hear about them, or what you guys have to say about them, and that's Sevilla.
That's right. Sevilla, who finished, they actually finished fourth, Joe. They finished fourth in La Liga last season, okay. So I thought they finished third. But having said that, it was still a phenomenal achievement for Jorge Sampaoli's men. They will be in the Champions League, but with a new manager. It will be with the new manager. It will be with another compatriot of Sampaoli, Eduardo Berizzo, who I'm sure Joseph knows from his job at Celta Vigo. So, I mean, straight off the bat here, I mean, what does Berizzo bring to the table for this really interesting young Sevilla side?
Yeah, it's interesting. Berizzo did absolutely fantastic work at Celta Vigo. I tracked his entire reign there. I was lucky enough to see some of the, you know, the great games. Yeah, Berizzo, it's interesting when you go on this timeline of Bielsista coaches, because Sampaoli is, you know, a Bielsista, but perhaps with a degree more pragmatism. And, you know, perhaps Berizzo as a coach, even though he had to put up with a terrible defence at Celta, which, you know, hampered things, but he's got a pragmatic streak too. I would say perhaps even a degree further than Sampaoli. You know, he's... not perhaps willing to compromise a little bit, you know, in those big games. But, you know, he led Celta to some sensational performances over the years. I think he's a really, really good fit at Sevilla. I've been impressed with what they've done in the transfer market. I suppose the big miss was that they didn't manage to get Stevan Jovetic, who did so well for them last season on loan. But, you know, I look at that squad. That's a really, really solid squad. They've strengthened at the back. They've got Michael Crondelli back fit again. You know, I'm maybe not a player that a lot of people are familiar with, but also an ex-Celta player. He's a, you know, really talented guy who can link the midfield and the attack. And yeah, I see this as a season where they, you know, perhaps have not challenged for the league. And although it looked like they might challenge for the league last season, I knew in my heart of hearts they weren't going to be there for it. But I think they can make that assault on third place, absolutely.
And I'll just ask the same question to you, Joe, regarding the Sevilla side. I mean, this is a side that has players such as a lot of Argentine contention. You know, it has six players from Argentina, including the coach, players such as the returning Ever Banega, players like Guido Pizarro, Gabriel Mercado, among other players who also you've seen play on the national team. And it's more than just them. It's a lot of South American influence with players like Luis Muriel and players like Nicolas Pareja. I think one of the biggest keys for them was keeping a player like Steven Nzonzi. So I guess looking at this team moving forward, do you see this side giving a real battle to Atletico Madrid for that third place spot?
I do. You know, we look at the transfer window and what they did in it. You know, bringing in Nolito, bringing him back from Manchester City, I think was a fantastic move. This is somebody that had some success in the in La Liga a couple of years earlier. You know, basically hastening his move to Manchester City. You talk about Banega. Banega was highly successful at Sevilla before moving on to Inter. So I think those two moves, for me, were great, especially, like you said, the moves that weren't made, like, you know, hanging on to Steven Zonzi, who I know, you know, including myself as a Juventino, I wanted him. I wanted him badly. I think he's one of the right pieces to bring in. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think he was would have been the right person to bring in, but Juve, you know, couldn't get it done at that particular time. I also like the fact that bringing in the coach that is under the same tutelage as Sampaoli and kind of that Bielsa-type mentality and that Bielsa-type spirit, I think does wonders. It's basically providing consistency at the head coaching position, although you've changed coaches. So I think there is something to be said when you bring in Berizzo to replace Sampaoli that is you know, there's a consistency factor there, and I think that's going to work well for them.
Absolutely.
I just want to come in there as well on that. It's very fortunate because well, you have to do this in cities like say Madrid and Sevilla early in the season. I wouldn't really fancy, you know, early evening kickoffs in Seville, the hottest city in Europe, playing a Bielsa system. So, you know, it's been good they've had the late kickoffs, and now we have the international break, and hopefully those temperatures drop a little bit, because yeah, it's a very demanding style of football.
Absolutely. And we're going to the next club in our preview, in a club that I think a lot of people really like to watch, maybe as that hipster side, especially, you know, given the good performances they had. Obviously, they didn't qualify for any European competitions, but it's still a really interesting side to watch, and that's going to be Celta Vigo. Celta Vigo finished 13th last season, and really have a solid team when you think about it. I mean, they added a few players such as Maxi Gomez. They added players such as Danovi Lovicic from Denmark, but they also got rid of some players such as Giuseppe Rossi, so Diaz, among other players. I'll start again with you, Joseph. Obviously, this is a team you know very, very well. They had that great run in the Europa League where they reached the semifinals, as well as in the Copa del Rey. So what are the expectations for a club like Celta Vigo?
The expectation now is to really go for a European spot. I know they've gotten off to a really poor start, but you know they got off to a poor start last season. It wasn't the end of the world last season, and I'm sure it won't be now. But I like what they've done in terms of the you know the attack. Maxi Gomez has just been a revelation. A player I don't know a lot about, I have to admit, Emre Mor. But you know, once I started putting out on social media in English about Emre Mor joining Celta, I got a lot of people who knew about him, knew about his background, and were telling me really good things. So yeah, let's see how that goes. You know. The concern with Celta is they didn't strengthen the defence, and the defence has been an issue going back years now. It's the weak point of the team. You know, I'm looking through the list now, and I'm just seeing the same familiar faces. And you know, perhaps a change of coach might alleviate that issue, because I suppose the one issue they had, as any, you know, we keep talking about Bielsa coaches, but when you go for that all or nothing pressing game, which you know we saw in abundance under Berizzo, if you can actually break through that line of the press, well, then the defense gets very, very exposed. And individually, they're lacking a bit of talent in the defense. So you know, perhaps Unzue is going to play a slightly different kind of game. Maybe he can mitigate the impact on that last line of the defense. I don't know. We'll have to see. But you know, from what I've seen with the preseason friendlies you know, just the style of play, it's a bit different. But I think they're going to be a really fun team to watch again this year.
Definitely. And I'll go to you, Joe, for my last question. Obviously, this manager, Unzuze, is obviously someone we know as the assistant for Luis Enrique. Do you feel that he'll have sort of an influence to this side and maybe leapfrog other teams who are doing pretty well last season, such as Villarreal, such as Real Sociedad, Athletic Bilbao, and another team we'll be talking about lastly? Do you think we could see them as that surprise side?
I don't think they did enough in the transfer window. I want to, you know, echo Joseph's thoughts about them being, you know, weak defensively, which leaves them open to the counterattack. You know, is it nice that they have a Luis Enrique, you know, associate at the helm, somebody that's had experience at Barcelona? Yeah, of course it is, but I don't think they did enough in this particular transfer window. The addition of Emery Moore is nice as a long-term you know, solution to what they want to do. You know, as a winger that plays for the national team at Turkey, he's still only 20 years old. He managed 12 appearances for Borussia Dortmund last year, which we know very well between Dembele, Pulisic, and a few others, that they're certainly more than capable of developing a young talent, and that's what Emery Moore is. So I think he's the right solution as a long-term. I would look at Celta as more of a long-term project than a short-term flash in the pan, especially if they continue to make moves like more in the transfer windows.
Definitely.
I guess I should throw in that the big thing too with last season was competing on three fronts. I remember speaking to friends of mine in Vigo, and when the season started badly last season, they were like, oh my God, because they had the season where they got to the last 16 in the Champions League, mm-hmm. and also got relegated because their squad was too short, you know?
Yes.
It was probably a bit too much panic, but you know, now they don't have the European distraction, and that's going to stand to them because their squad was extremely stretched last season. You know, from February on, towards the end of the season, they were playing a B team in most league games, and the backup players, they just simply weren't up to the task.
Right, absolutely. And Joe, let's go to our last team.
Yeah, I definitely, and I want to echo before I run over to the last team that, you know, having that coverage in depth, you know, has been the detriment for a lot of teams that are playing on multiple fronts. You know, Celta's certainly one of the many, and I think not having all those competitions at hand is probably going to be a benefit to them, as it will allow them to grow as a team. I do want to talk about a team as the last team that we're going to highlight tonight, that has come onto the scene and actually surprised us a little bit this year, especially after finishing 12th twice in the last two seasons, and that's Valencia. They've had a great particular start to this particular season, especially with the add-ons, the Italian add-ons. And I want to refer to them as Italian add-ons because they swiped two from Juventus and two from Inter in terms of Murillo and Condogbia at Inter and Simone Zaza and Neto, the backup goalkeeper at Juventus. We saw them on the weekend put in an incredible performance against Real Madrid, leading to a 2-2 draw, really Madrid having to score late in that match and almost gave it away. So, Joseph, I'm going to go to you first. With the additions that they made in the transfer window that Valencia has had this season, can they finally get out of this 12th place rut and really start to challenge for, you know, for some of these top spots in the league?
Yeah, perhaps. It's a possibility. I've been really impressed with the start they've made to the season so far. You know, a little bit slow on week one, but that performance at the Bernabeu at the weekend, you know, that caught a lot of us by surprise. Perhaps it shouldn't, because it seems in recent years they've drawn a lot of games 2-2 with Real Madrid. But they really set up to the challenge. And Condogbia, you know, okay, he got the goal, you know, that's great. But his all-round game, you know, those of us who follow La Liga will remember how good a player he was at Sevilla. I know it didn't quite work out for him at Inter, but, I mean, let's face it, a lot of players have bombed at Inter in recent years. I mean, I wouldn't hold that against anyone. But I suppose, you know, part of what they've done this summer is there's been an issue with the squad in recent seasons with morale, with the atmosphere around the changing room. So I think perhaps more than any, you know, specific players they brought in, although, again, I'll say Condogbia is an excellent signing, it's maybe clearing out some of the more difficult characters from the dressing room. So they can kind of start afresh, because things have been very toxic around that club for going on almost 2 years now, you know, from the time when Nuno got bombed out two seasons ago. Yeah. So there's a lot of new faces, different personnel. Perhaps that's what they need.
And Rob, I want to throw the same question to you. Obviously, you know, with the multiple head coaching changes at Valencia, like you said, there's kind of a new climate there. And with the bringing in of these fresh players, Rob, do you see them making a climb up the ladder?
I mean, I think with such a big improvement that they made this season, that we would love to see it. But I think it's going to be really hard for them to try to compete with other teams who are getting so much stronger, like Sevilla, like Sociedad, like Villarreal, among other clubs. But it's a really interesting squad. I think a lot will have to be definitely on Marcelino. We've seen the job he was able to do at Villarreal. A phenomenal job, I would say. And I think a big influence like that, as well as the additions of players that they've had in the transfer window, can really help them. So I think they could definitely fight for those European spots. Absolutely.
Sure, absolutely. I agree. So I'm looking forward to an exciting season from them. So let's look at our last two pieces of the puzzle here that we always talk about on these preview shows, and that is our prediction section for the top goal scorer and our order of finish for the top four in the league. So obviously, with our honored guest, I'm always going to go to you first on these. As far as the Pichichi goes, who do you see being the top goal scorer in La Liga this year?
I think it's very hard to look beyond Leo Messi. I'm going to say Messi.
Okay. You know, he hasn't done it. It's been, I believe, a few years since he's actually done it, although not taking away from his greatness. He's had some wonderful players to be able to lean on.
Last year he won it.
Was it last year?
Yeah. Oh, he did, yeah. But you're right. He He was serving his colleagues for a little while, but last season, yeah.
Sure, sure, okay. Because I was gonna say, I thought Cristiano Ronaldo won it last year, but he must have scored all the goals everywhere else. He was scoring them in Champions League, and I'm getting them.
Yeah, confused. He was. He was scoring at the business end in Europe. That's where he was hitting his goals last year.
That is for certain. Rob, how about you? Who's gonna win the goal scoring title for you?
I mean, yeah, I'm gonna have to echo Joseph's statement. Said you can't look against Lionel Messi. I think. The fine start he's having, and especially what's going to happen with Cristiano and other players looking to step in. I think this is Lionel Messi's Pichichi to lose, to say the least. Yeah, I think the goal scorer is going to be Lionel Messi again.
I'm going to be somewhat of the contrarian, and as provided this particular person gives you a full, healthy season, I'm going to actually go to his teammate, Luis Suarez. Seeing that the two of them aren't going to have to share the goals with Neymar anymore, I think you may see Suarez pick up a few of those crumbs and pieces and maybe edge out the great Lionel Messi for that title. So I'm going to actually hang my hat on Suarez for the Pichichi title this year. So let's go to the order of finish for the top four teams in the league. So, Joseph, I'm going to go to you first. Going from fourth to first with your eventual champion, who's your top four in the league?
Okay, going from fourth to first, I think Atletico will come fourth. I think Sevilla third. The champions is interesting because, it just depends on how much Real go for the three in a row in the Champions League, and they have the World Club Cup, which does, provoke some problems. We all know the problems Barca have, but I would not entirely write them off. You know, a few weeks ago, I would have said perhaps even Sevilla can break the top two, but I would say, I'll edge towards Real Madrid. They have that sensational squad, so much depth. But, let's see how it goes.
So I'm actually not following you. You think it'll be Barca number one and
No, I think Real Madrid should win it just by virtue of having such a stacked squad. But, I'm not entirely ready to write Barcelona off just yet, especially given that, the next four or five games, they've got a great run to build up ahead of steam. And we've seen Madrid drop points so far. Sure. So I would not be as pessimistic. I mean, I accept, there's a lot of issues around the club, but I would not write Barca off to the degree that so many people seem quite happy to do at this point.
Agreed.
But if you put, you make me choose now, I'm going to say Real Madrid.
All right. Rob, same question to you, sir. What's your order of finish?
I'm going to say something similar to what Joseph is saying. I think what we've seen of Sevilla this season and what they were able to do, I think they were able to add that depth and really good depth that they could really contend for top three, really, maybe even for top two. But having said that, I think with the battle, I think for third place going to be against Atletico Madrid and Sevilla, I think Sevilla do it. I think they go third. I think Atletico Madrid go fourth, and I think Sevilla go third. I just think that they have that depth that could really have the confidence to do this. However, in the top two, I'm going to also agree with Joe and say that we shouldn't write off this Barcelona side just yet. I mean, there's obviously a lot of problems happening at the club, but I think what we've seen in the past, especially in La Liga, maybe in the Champions League, that maybe when the expectation isn't exactly as high as we've seen before, that that Barcelona end up seizing the day and doing perfectly well. And having said that, I'm going to go for, I don't know if it's going to be considered bold, but maybe to the contrarian of what Joseph is saying, I think Real Madrid will finish second, and I think Barcelona will win the league this season.
Okay. Now, so what I've tried to do when we've done all of these preview shows is I've tried to write my order of finish from fourth to first before we even do the show so that I'm not swayed by anybody's opinions, as we talk about them. I develop my opinion, and then I give it to you. Apparently when you're named Joseph, you think exactly alike, because my order of finish that I wrote down was Atletico Madrid fourth, Sevilla third, Barca second, Real Madrid first. And just looking at the moves and doing my research pre-show, I do think Valencia will stick their noses in the race a little bit this time around. They may not finish in the top five or six, but I think they're going to hang around long enough to be an issue for some of these teams. But I did write down Atleti, Sevilla, Barca, and Real Madrid as my champion in that particular order. So all it means is that we are going to have a wonderful and exciting La Liga season I know we will all be looking forward to that El Clasico, I believe in December, if I remember correctly on the schedule at the top of my brain. And yep. And it's going to be another wonderful season, probably what is arguably the best, one of the best leagues in the entire world. So, Joseph, I do want to thank you for joining us tonight and help us break down the La Liga season for 2017-2018. Rob, as always, I want to thank you for always being there with me and doing these preview shows. They've been wonderful. So for this week in football, breaking down the La Liga 2017-2018 season, I am your host, Joe Uccello. Thank you again to my guests for joining me, and good night.